Well, good morning and welcome. And I want to welcome those who are watching us online. I'm glad that you're with us today. I do want to reiterate what Jeff said. I want to encourage you to come if you've never been to our celebration at the Montrose campus. When we pull together all of our campuses, all six campuses, it can be a little wild. It's a lot of fun. And we pull people from all the different bands together. And it's just a really, really fun time. And so it's a time to celebrate. We used to call it a business meeting. We don't really conduct much business. We just do, like, vote on the iPads and we're done. But we do give some kind of report. But basically, it's celebration. It's for what God has done over the last year. So please join us if you've never been there before. I think you'd really enjoy it. You can do me a favor, too, okay? I don't ask for a lot of favors, do I, from you guys? Okay, maybe once in a while, but not too often, right? And so here's my favor to you. On Monday morning, all the campus pastors get together, and we talk smack, right? About, like, so we're going to talk about which campus represented the best. And so, really, just show up, be a body, be warm, just be there. And maybe you could get something with a C on to say Conklin, and that would really help us. So if you could show up so I can talk smack on Monday morning, I would really appreciate it. Thank you. So week two, anxious for nothing. Last week we talked about when you've had enough. When you get to a place in life where you've just had enough. And sometimes for us as people, all of us, we get to moments where we face times of discouragement and despair. We face times of anxiety. And there's times where we kind of get wrapped up into our own heads as we start thinking through things. Now, some of you may not call anxiety or discouragement or despair. Some of you would use words like, I'm worried about something, or I'm really stressed. It seems a lot safer, but the reality is, aren't we still swimming around in our own heads, trying to work through some issues, struggling with things of life? I think most of us have been there. And last week we talked about Elijah. Elijah is just an amazing prophet in the Old Testament, one of the most familiar characters in all of Scripture. And Elijah was this guy who God had this, used him in this huge but God kind of moment where he's standing on a mountain against 850 false prophets. It's one against 850. There he stood, toe-to-toe. And he cried out to God, and God answered his prayers. It was a huge victory, a huge win. So he goes from this mountaintop experience, and when Jezebel heard what happened, she threatened his life and said, if you're not like one of the 850 prophets, because the crowd basically killed all 850 prophets, he said, if your life's not like that tomorrow, man, there's going to be trouble. Elijah immediately went into this mountain, from a mountaintop experience, into the fetal position, laying in a desert. He started this run. And oftentimes when we get confronted by something, or people speak into our life that's negative, or we face some hard times, there are times that we start running both physically and emotionally. We get ourselves in this spiritual funk. And when we get into this funk, what happens is we start pushing people away. And all we can see in our world is the dark spot. We can't see the good. All we see is the darkness. And that's where Elijah was. And here's the problem with Elijah. So Elijah, all he can see is dark. But what he was seeing is not necessarily reality. So often when we find ourselves in those dark places of our life, those times of despair, those times of anxiety, those things that we worry about, am I going to find a spouse? We worry about our finances, we worry about our children, we worry about our jobs, we worry about all kinds of stuff. In those dark places, sometimes we get to a place in our life where it's not really reality. But that's all we can focus on. If you're someone who struggles with things like this, maybe your night looks something like this. 9 o'clock, you're reading a book, watching TV. And as you're sitting there, you're having a difficult time keeping your eyes open. So you decide to go to bed because you're exhausted. You're exhausted emotionally and you're exhausted physically. You go to bed and you turn the lights off, you put your head on your pillow, and while you lay there, the silence is deafening. And all you can hear is you in your head fighting through things, thinking about what someone said to you, wrestling through an issue that you're being confronted with, a problem that you're trying to resolve. And before you know it, you start this running around in your own head, trying to figure it out. You look at the clock and now it's midnight. And you start talking to yourself and saying, stop thinking about it. Just stop. And the more you tell yourself to stop thinking about it, what do? You think about it. And you're just praying that God would give you a switch that you can flip it. and say, I don't want to do this anymore. And there you lay awake at 1 o'clock in the morning going, God, please relieve me of this burden. Some people have nights like that, and one night turns into 2 nights, 1 week turns into 2 weeks, and month after month, we find ourselves wrestling and working through these anxieties, these worries, and these concerns. So what do? We start things like essential oils, melatonin, Tylenol PM. We go to the doctor and say, I need sleeping pills. Maybe if I have a few drinks, it will help me go to bed. It will help me shut this off. You got a new job. You're in a 3-month trial period. You got to learn the operating systems. You have to learn the processes and the systems. And your 3 months is almost up, and your boss has basically let you know that it's not working out, and you don't know what you're going to do. Some of you, it's financial. It's time to pay the mortgage payment. And you've been late month after month, and you don't have the money now to make the payment. And you know that even if I do get the money, I know next month is going to be no different. Some of you, your spouse ran down that infidelity road. And while you've worked it out, and you're together, and you think you're over it, until some of the behavior in your spouse is very similar to what you experienced when they ran down that road. For people with health-related issues in your family, maybe anxiety is in each of your generation. Anxiety. Maybe you have Alzheimer's in generation after generation in your family. Then you start forgetting things. And you start wondering, am I the next one? From do I have enough in retirement? To has my cancer returned? To my kids are abroad? There are times that most of us, if we are honest with ourselves, we come to those moments in life where we worry, we're concerned, and we're anxious, and we're laying awake at night, and we're our own worst enemies as we run around in our own heads and create this huge hairy monster in our life. That probably isn't reality. We talked about this when it came to anxiety last week. The presence of anxiety is unavoidable, but the prison of anxiety is optional. And while you may be struggling with worry, with anxiety, I want you to know, just because you struggle with those things, I think it's part of living in a messy world. It doesn't mean you're struggling with mental illness in your life. It doesn't mean that your parents have failed you. It doesn't mean that God has failed you. Sometimes life can get messy. Sometimes people make mistakes. Sometimes we even make mistakes. So what do we do in the midst of all of that? And what we're trying to do is help you to identify those issues in your life that you're struggling with and then give you some things to walk through, to step through, to help you in the area of worry, anxiety, despair, discouragement. We looked at these verses last week and it said this. Rejoice in the Lord always, and I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, yeah, but that person, you don't know what they're saying about me behind my back. You don't understand what my children have gone through. You don't understand what it's like at work. You don't understand the financial burden that I'm in. Listen to me. But in every situation, there is absolutely no parentheses after that say, you get a pass in these areas of life. In every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. What we told you last week was this. We gave you this on a card. And we gave you these verses. And we said we wanted you over the next 3 weeks, we wanted you to read those verses every single day, at least once a day. So when you're wrestling with things in your life, no matter what it is that you're going through, we want you to come to a place in your life where you start believing that in every situation, I can go to God, I can make my petitions with thanksgiving, and I can give it over to God. It says, casting all your care upon him. Why? Because he cares for you. It's walking through life, doing life with him, having confidence in him that he has done everything that he's promised that he was going to do and that he will always, always be a faithful God. So when we find these situations in life, what we do is similar to what Elijah does, where we start running down this road. And I tell you this, the road is not heading towards God. It's not seeking God. It's not trusting God. It's not putting our confidence in God. Instead, we run aimlessly down this road to where we wear ourselves out both physically and emotionally, and we've forgotten him. And as we walk down this road, we just dwell on the negative and we start to push other people away. So today we want to give you a couple more things to think through. Here's some things that we want you to think through is, first of all, your emotions are God-given. Emotions are a good thing. There can be times where our emotions are a bad thing, but emotions are a good thing. God gave you those emotions for a reason. They are a response to situations that you're going to be confronted with in life. But what we can't do is allow our emotions to control us. We need to have confidence in God. When you have more confidence in your emotion, when you lean on your emotions more than you lean on the truth of God, we're going to find ourselves in a very difficult situation. So, for example, if I'm driving through a city and I'm in a really bad neighborhood, I'm going to lock my doors. Why? Because fear is a natural emotion that God has given me. And it's letting me know that there's danger out there somewhere, and therefore, I need to take steps. So, emotion can be good. When we have those moments where it's either a fight or flight situation, you open the closet door and there's a mouse. It's fight or flight, right? You have to make a choice. And what I found out from the service is this is amazing. The guys are the ones standing on the chair. They're telling their wife, go get the mouse. Water. Having a healthy fear of water is wonderful. It really is. It's a great thing to have a healthy fear of water. But if it keeps you from being obedient and being baptized, then it's become sin. So let me, you need to understand, emotions aren't necessarily a bad thing. It's when we allow them to get the best of us and we take our eyes off God and we lose our confidence in him, that's when it becomes a problem. So today we're going to talk about a couple more things. Some things that God is, I think, leading us through in Matthew chapter 6. Here's the first thing I want you to know. Your emotions follow your devotions. Your emotion follow your devotions. Now, you say, what does that mean? Basically, your worry will reveal your idols. The things that you find most important in your life, the things that seem to be most significant to you, the things that you're most passionate about are the things that you're going to probably worry about the most. So if you serve your children, if they have become an idol in your life, obviously the thing that you're going to probably worry about the most will be your children. If things are super important to you, your possessions, what you own, your vehicles, your furniture, whatever it is you have, if that is the most important thing in your life, you're going to throw a fit if someone spills something on the couch that you got because that's the most important thing in your life. The things that we worry about are the things that typically we put as having precedence in our life. So if you don't like your job, if you're looking for another job, if your boss tells you that he's not really happy with you, you really don't care. You really don't worry about it. Why? Because it's really not that important to you. It's just a job. Frankly, I'd like to have another job. If you don't like sports, you don't care today if the New York Giants are going to win or not. You don't care. Why? Because it's not a passion that you have. It's not something that you live for. But there are things that we live for. There are things that we are passionate about. There are things that we find as being our significance in life. And if something taints that or attacks that, then yes, we're going to be unsettled and we're going to start worrying, and sometimes it will lead to anxiety. What's it say in Matthew chapter 6? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Now, the money that's talked about in here is not necessarily the $20 bill in your pocket. It's a broader term that's talking about stuff in your life. If you are going to serve your stuff, if you're going to live to have more stuff, and we need to do build garages for our stuff, buy sheds to put our stuff in, we fill our attics with our stuff, we fill our basements with our stuff. If stuff becomes really important to you, let me tell you this, you're going to have times where you worry about your stuff, and you're going to take time managing your stuff because stuff is so important. And what happens is our stuff, whatever it is that you've created an idol in your life, will interfere with your relationship with God and will stand in the way because you can't serve both equally. You will serve the one, and as he says, either despise or hate the other. Now, some of you will say, no, I don't like God. I just love this stuff more. You cannot serve them equally. And so Matthew says, you will love one, and in a way, you will hate or despise the other. So whatever your idol is, whatever it is, if it's your finances, if it's your children, if it's what other people think of you, if it's your spouse, whatever your idol is, it can stand in the way of your spiritual journey of trusting God and following him. It will stand in the way. Why? Because it's time for your devotions. It's time for you to spend time talking to God, and something else will enter into your life that is more important, and before you know it, you divert your attention from God, and you focus on your idol, whatever that is in your life. When it comes to church attendance, it's interesting to me. We've talked about this before, but church attendance in America has dropped down to the average person who is a regular church attender goes 1.7 times a month. They don't even go 50% of the time to church. But God is like, he's the most important thing in my life. But there's a game. I'm tired. The weather's not nice. We're going to pick, like, we come up with everything else, right? If God truly is the master and Lord of our life, and he is the most important thing in our life, our relationship with him is most important, it will affect what you do with your time, what you do with your resources, and what you do with your gifts. Society, we've come to a place where God becomes a hobby. He's no longer taking precedence in our life, and we start wandering down all of these different roads in life. All kinds of roads. We have all kinds of idols. And when we wander into the darkness, when we go over the guardrails in our life, when we choose to do what we want to do, and we live in our fear and our concerns and our worries and our anxiety, and then all of a sudden, in the midst of our despair, in the midst of our discouragement, in the midst of our anxiety, what do? We blame God. Somehow, it's God's fault that we are down here. We have turned away from God. We are walking down this road. We have made other things a priority in our life, and our life is falling, or they're falling apart. We're going through difficult times, and we sit there and say, God, how can you have let this happen in my life? And I can see God in my sanctified imagination looking back and going, what do you mean, how can I let it happen? I've not been a part of your life in a long time. You don't pray to me. You don't serve me. You don't give yourself to the service of others or for my glory. And now it's my fault? I want you to know that worry in our life is like a check engine light. Now, some of you, if you have a check engine light come on in your car, as long as your car starts and it gets to where you want to go, you really don't care. Right? You really don't care. I still get where I want to go. But the check engine light is an indication that something is wrong, either a little wrong or a lot wrong, but something is wrong. I think worry in our life is a check engine light for our heart to say something is not right. If we are spending this much energy and this much time on these things, then maybe something has become an idol in my life and I'm no longer focusing on the God of heaven, the one who created me, the one who loves me, the one who sent Christ on this earth to have a relationship with me, to restore that relationship. Instead of focusing on all of that, all I can do is live in my own mind and have all these mental thoughts that are negative. And as I'm doing these gymnastics in my head, I blame God. Your emotion will often be an indication of your devotion. And your worry will often reveal your idols. So my question to you is this. You can't serve both. You will serve the one, and in one way or another, you will ignore the other. One will take precedence over the other. So what are the idols in your life? What is it that takes precedence over God in your life? if the check engine light is on in your heart, it may be a time or a season in your life where you need to be still and realize that He's God. And that you've walked away, whether it's physically or you've walked away maybe emotionally, but you're not where you need to be spiritually. First one, your emotions will often determine your devotion. Second, manage what you can manage. Are any of you like control freaks? Like micromanagers of things? I see people pointing to other people in their relationships. That's awesome. Yeah, great. I don't want to start a family fight, but I just want you to know some of you have mental illness when it comes to that, and I join the club, right? So that's me. So like every T's got to be crossed, every I's got to be dotted, like everything's got to be planned. We have lists. And whether they're on paper or in our head, we have lists, and we want everybody else to know what those lists are. And if they don't, they should know, right? Whether I say it or not, they should know what those lists are. So, and I've talked about before, I have an issue with the people who load the dishwasher at my house. Because you only can do it one way, like the right way, which is my way. And so, like, I look at the dishwasher, and we'll have these big family get-togethers, and all these people will be around, and they start loading the dishwasher, and I'm like on the verge of a stroke. Like, I'm trying to hold it together. I'm like going, that's not right. Plates don't go in the top, right? Plates do not go on the top, ever. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. Like, seriously, hallelujah. Like, they belong on the bottom. What are you doing putting plates on the top? And bowls don't go on the bottom, they go on the top. And anyways, you understand, we have mental illness, right? And so we walk through life, and we try to figure everything out. We got to control everything. And there's times where, when it comes to managing what we can manage, we come to the realization that there's times we can't manage certain things. We come to places in our life we realize it's out of our control. This week I was talking to someone about last year's floods. And as she was sharing the story, she said, I stood there and we just barely got out of our house. It came down. It's almost like a dam had broken where they lived. And the water came down so fast and so quick. And so we ran out of the house. We got down the driveway. And they said, we sat there and watched as we weren't even down the driveway. And the van started moving. And they watched their van go down what was a creek, which had become a raging river. They saw their van just get washed away, and then they saw their house get washed away. There are moments in life that we realize, no matter how much of a control freak we are, there are times that we can't control everything. We have those passive aggressives, right, that come along in life, and they know they're messing with us. And they're not going to follow the system or the plan. And all we do is worry about these things that are material, these things that we get our way. And this is what Matthew says. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Let's go to the next verse. Oh, sorry. That's the next slide. We get to a place in our life where we look through these situations in life that we're going through. And verse 24 talks about where our devotion is, right? You can't serve two masters. But we transition into this world of saying so much of what we worry about really doesn't matter. We micromanage the small stuff. We're concerned about the small stuff. There are times that we worry about our food. We worry about what we drink. We worry about our clothes. Not if we're going to have food. Not if we're going to have something to drink. Not if we have enough clothes. We start worrying about things of, like, what restaurant are we going to go to? We get bothered by, we go to a restaurant, and we get mediocre service, and it ruins our day. We worry about first world kind of things. We ordered something on Amazon Prime. It's supposed to be here in 2 days. I just found out it's back. How dare they? And we walk through all of these first world issues, and we get bothered by all these things in life that we wrestle with, and we get upset. He goes, do you understand some of this stuff doesn't matter? It's not about whether you're going to have clothes to wear. It's the fact that I don't have enough shoes to accessorize in my closet. I don't have enough clothes that there's variety, and people think I'm wearing the same thing. And we go through all kinds of stuff that we worry about. When I was in Denver a couple weeks ago, I was working on this sermon, And I met the executive pastor at 7:30 in the lobby, and I said, so I had to get some stuff done. So I worked about an hour on the sermon, got ready, did all my correspondence stuff before I met him at 7:30. So I was kind of in a hurry because I was behind. And so I kind of got dressed really quick, ran down to the lobby, started walking through Denver to this really cool breakfast place. If you're ever in Denver, I'll tell you where it is. It's like an amazing breakfast place. We went to this place to go have breakfast. I'm walking down the road, and I happen to look down, and I notice that I had the wrong shoes on. They didn't match. Like I know some of you are looking at me like, seriously, you care about the way you dress? Like, look at you. But it didn't match. It was horrendous what I had on, like absolutely horrendous. So I'm walking, we're blocks away from the hotel, and I'm going, I've got to go back. Like, I can't, like, and I started, like, I got, these shoes are not right. They look horrible. And so I'm walking, and I don't want to tell my executive, because I don't want to act like I didn't want to come across, like, seriously, you're worried about your shoes don't match? Like, really? So I didn't want to tell him what I was going through. But I was, like, starting to sweat. Like, I'm going, ah, my shoes don't match. And so we get to the restaurant. I'm sitting there, and I'm watching, and I'm going, everybody's judging me in this city. They're all looking at me. I'm going, did you see that guy's shoes? They don't match. And so what I do at the restaurant, I put my feet under the table, like way under the table, because I didn't want anybody to see, because I feel like they were judging me. I couldn't wait to get back to the hotel room. Why? So I want to change my shoes. We become so obsessed with crazy things in this life that has absolutely nothing to do with eternity or a relationship with God. It's things that in society that says is important, and that's what we worry about. My wife this morning, like, she's not in here, is she? I don't see her. Okay, so don't tell her, okay? So we're going to have an intervention with my wife because she's like a Diet Coke fanatic. Like, she's the kind of people, like, I go like, hey, we're out of Diet Coke. And she goes, there's some in the car. I open the trunk and she has a stash in the car. At work, she has a stash she hides at work and she's got all her stuff all hidden. So I get up this morning. And I'm thinking, oh, I'm just have a Diet Coke. So I open one of the things and I open it up. She goes, hey, is that the last Diet Coke? And I said, so what if it is? No, I'm scared of her. So I went, no, there's another one in there, I promise you. But, like, in life, we get so upset and wound up by things with who drank the last Diet Coke? Who ate that piece of pizza? I was saving it for lunch tomorrow. We get bothered by everything. And sometimes we take things that really don't matter. And again, we have to eat and we have to have water to drink and all that kind of stuff. But really, we make some of these things an area of contention in our life. And God's like going like, what's the deal? What is your problem? When is the last time that you struggled with starvation? When's the last time that you struggled with dehydration? When is the last time that you didn't have clothes to wear when you walked out the door? Do you understand the things that we worry about, who drank the last Diet Coke, doesn't compare to the things like starvation and dehydration and people not having clothes to wear? You can say, well, who does that? We were in Garden of the Gods, Colorado Springs, driving through the park. Has anybody been there? Beautiful place. Yeah, beautiful place. We're driving with my executive pastor. He goes, hey, there's a naked guy. I thought he was kidding. And he wasn't. Down the side of the road, looking like Sasquatch. The guy's walking, just swinging his arms, just walking buck naked right down the road. I'm thinking, going like, seriously? Like, so there are people today who don't have clothes to wear, apparently. No, actually, it condemns those states that basically legalize drugs. Like, that's what you get when you legalize drugs. Sorry. Listen to me, though. There are times we need to learn to manage what we manage, what we can manage. And we need to see the difference between material things and spiritual things. It's the dichotomy of man. Yes, there are things that we have, physical needs that we have, but I want you to know this, the spiritual things are way more important. Really, when it comes to the light of eternity, what we have for lunch today really doesn't matter. In light of eternity, when it comes to people going to hell, how many shoes you have in your closet and whether you match as you're walking around Denver really doesn't matter. Moms and dads, your kids loving God and serving Him with every part of their being is way more important than them becoming the prom king or queen. Let me ask you a question, moms and dads. If you had a choice for your kids to grow up and love God with every part of their being, and that they're going to go to heaven, that's one choice. Or your kid growing up and becoming popular and the captain of the cheerleading squad and the football team and homecoming king or queen, which one would you choose? Which one would you choose? Let me ask you this. Which one do you spend most of your money and time on? What are you investing in your children to do and be? Godly, Christ followers, people who serve other people, people who bring glory to God through their life, or are you raising them to be all-stars? Sometimes we send a mixed message to our kids, don't we? We send a mixed message of what's really important. Here's another question for some of you to think about. We talk about, yeah, we're all in. Yay, God, we love you, God. We're all, high five. We're all about your kingdom. So if God answered every single one of your prayers, every prayer that you prayed in the last 3 days, every prayer that you prayed, he answered it. How many people would be in heaven? How many people would spend eternity with God because you're praying for lost people, because you passionately want to be used of God to see your neighbor, your relative, your coworkers, people that you go to school with? You are so passionate about seeing them come to know Christ as your Savior. How many people would be in heaven? Because it's such a burden on your heart, because that's what you serve. That's what you desire. That's what you're passionate about. Interesting. I wonder if we walked around this room and I started going, okay, how many people would be in heaven? How many people would be in heaven? I wonder how many people would be in heaven. Our worries reveal our idols. Our worries reveal our idols. I want you to know that God provides, I have no idea where I'm in my service here. God provides for those he loves and he values. I want you to know that if we struggle with the faithfulness of God, if we struggle with the provisions of God, all we have to do is look at the natural order of things and say, oh, I get it. God is faithful. Here's what it says in Matthew. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they are? Here's the verse. Next one. Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your day? He says this. If you want to look at life, you will see my faithfulness. Do you see those birds that are flying around? Go bird watching. And I want you to realize this. They are not farmers. They don't plant seed. They don't work the crop. They don't harvest the crop. They don't build barns to store things in for the year to come. And yet they have food to eat. I want you to know that while some of you may be animal lovers and you may not like me for saying this, God cares for you a whole lot more than he cares for the birds of the air. He loves his creation, but he never came to die for them. He came to die for you. You are part of creation that was created in his image. He said, I will be faithful to them. I will take care of them. They will have things to eat in life. But I want you to know this as well. If God can take care of a bird, he can take care of you. He goes on in the passage, and we don't have time, where he talks about the flowers of the field and the way he dresses them and makes them. He goes, listen to me, if God cares for birds, if he cares for the flowers, I want you to know that he cares for you. He can take care of those things. He's faithful. He can take care of whatever situation you're going through. And here's something to take away. Because you're worrying, it's not going to add one moment to the end of your life. Because you stew and you fret and you're concerned and you're anxious, you're not adding any time to your life at the end. There is a place that we need to step back and we need to realize that He is sovereign over all things. He is in control and He loves you. And He will walk with you through any circumstance. And He will never put you through something. He will never put you through anything that you can't handle with you and Him together. Never. God is our refuge and He is our strength. He is a ever-present help no matter what you're going through. Yes, life is hard. Life is messy. Things are difficult. But God says this, I will be with you and I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. You trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not in your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him and He will direct your path. Folks, listen to me. There are times that we walk in life and we start focusing on all of this stuff. And frankly, it really doesn't matter. I understand there are real concerns that we have to deal with. There are diagnoses that you have to process and work through. I get that. But I want you to know this. God is enough. God will meet you in the middle of your brokenness. And He will serve you. He will tenderly care for you because He loves you. If He can take care of birds, He will take care of you. That is an amazing God, and we can trust Him with anything. Now, don't get me wrong. We have responsibility. There are things that we have to do. If you have financial troubles, you can't just step back and say, let go and let God. There are times we have to walk into those situations and say, oh, I need to make this right. I need to work hard. I need to save. I need to pay off debt. But I know that God has promised that He will meet every single one of my needs. And I believe Him. I don't just stand up here week after week and say, you know what, God? You take care of the birds. You take care of the flowers. I don't have time to study. And so what I'm going to do is just throw something out there. Would you just bless it? No, I gotta work really hard. And I got to pray that God would show up and do something great in people's lives. It's a God thing, but I have to do my part. So listen to me. Let's do our part. Whatever God's called us to do, let us do our part. But then let's trust God with the rest. There are times God takes us down a road and we don't understand where we're going. We really don't understand what's at the end of the path. And we can either shrink back or we can say, God, I have no idea what's at the end, but let's do this together. Some of the greatest victories, some of the greatest moments that I've experienced in my spiritual life is walking down a path that I had no idea was at the end of the path, and you watch God show up all along the way to not only serve other people, but bring glory to Himself. It's not sitting around fretting and worrying, laying awake at night, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? Hey, God, You did this. Let's go. My confidence is in You. If You can take care of the birds and You can take care of the flowers, I know that You're going to take care of me. The end of Matthew chapter 6 says this, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all of these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. It's like the book of Ecclesiastes when it says this, why do we spend so much time worrying about the past? We can't change the past. It's water under the bridge. You made mistakes. Other people make mistakes. Why are we going to focus on the past? There's other people who don't focus on the past. They look to the future and go, yeah, but what about tomorrow? What's going to happen? I'm not sure. And we hyperventilate. We're so worried about tomorrow. And God says this, listen to me, today, I promise I'm going to be enough. Let's live in the moment. There's a place where You trust Me. Let's walk through today together. And I want you to know that I'll be there. And I'm going to use You to serve others and for My glory. I'm going to use You. Trust Me. Trust Me. If I can take care of birds, I can take care of you. The presence of anxiety is unavoidable, but the prison of anxiety is optional. God, thank You so much. Sermons like this, I think, are so relevant for people because so many people are going through hard times. And God, You've told us that while we go through those moments of frustration and despair, You're going to meet us there. Thank you that you fulfill your promises. Thank you that you're faithful. Thank you that we can have confidence in you. And for those who are struggling today, for those who are wrestling with whatever it is in their minds, I pray that they would run to you as fast as they can. And they would lean not on their own understanding, but in all their ways, they would acknowledge you. And they will understand what it means to have that peace that is beyond other people's comprehension. God, thank you for being that kind of God. And we ask this in your Son's name. Amen.
Would you stand and sing with us?